Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Latest headlines on Iran's attack on Israel. President Biden releasing a statement last night condemning the attack in the strongest possible terms and praising the extraordinary skill of U.S. service members in the region who helped Israel take down nearly all the incoming drones and missiles.
We are closely monitoring Iranian killer drones that are en route to Israel sent by Iran. This is a severe and dangerous escalation. Our defensive and offensive capabilities are at the highest level of readiness ahead of this large-scale attack from Iran.
Our commitment to Israel's security against these threats from Iran and its proxies is ironclad.
Overnight, hundreds of ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones were launched by Iran toward Israel. Most of these projectiles were actually intercepted by fighter jets and Israel's missile defense systems outside of Israeli territory, some of them slipping past, though, and slamming into the ground across this country.
And we saw the report earlier today that there was maybe one girl who was injured slightly, or, you know, injured enough to maybe need to go to the hospital. So far, no reports of anybody having been killed in this attack. Very serious stuff, very concerning stuff. If you think about what's going on in the Middle East and you think about the, you know, we've had proxy war, basically, between Iran and Israel for years now, and more recently with, you know, Hamas attacking. They are a proxy of Iran. That's, you know, Shiite Muslims operating out of Iran. You have the, you know, Houthis in Yemen. You have the Hezbollah in Lebanon. And, you know, then Israel pushed back and had a strike in Syria that killed several Iranian, National Guard, Revolutionary Guard forces, commanders. This is Iran's retaliation for that, is what they are arguing. A couple of weeks later, as you heard, none of the missiles got through. None of the drones got through. They have several different layers of air defense. And even Admiral John Kirby, now the national security spokesman for the White House, saying, you know, this is all a byproduct of how much we have done to beef up their security and protect them over the years. Now, I think there's a lot you could say about this. I think what the world is waiting to see is, of course, what is Israel going to do in response? Can they afford to do nothing? Would doing nothing send a signal that more could come? Now, on the one hand, they obviously were attacked directly by Iran. This is unprecedented. This is unbelievable. It's one thing to do it, you know, proxy indirectly through other actors. It's another thing to do it directly, right? From your airspace to their airspace through Iraqi and Jordanian airspace. It's amazing. But on the other hand, nobody was killed. And so what level of response is appropriate? Now, one of the I offer this only as a, not that I think it's the likely theory, but only as I was thinking about this and what could be true, okay? Just because you always got to consider possibilities. One possibility is that the Iranian technology is so bad and or the Israeli and American technology is so good that, they defeated this first wave attack retaliation, okay? That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is this was a first wave in order to see what the defenses could do and then prepare to appropriately try to do something more significant in a next round of attack from Iran. That's a possibility. Possibility number three, and we've heard already this morning that something like maybe half the missiles didn't go off properly when they were being launched, which is, you know, sounds like they're buying them from the Russians. Remember, the Iranians have been supplying drones to the Russians. Right. It's kind of there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world right now. OK, anyway, third possibility. And again, I don't want to lean on this. I put it out there as a possibility. Iran probably does not want full scale war with Israel. Particularly because, you know, Israel's got those big, big weapons and Iran does not yet. Right. The weapons that Israel never acknowledges that it happens, but everybody knows they've got. Okay, nuclear weapons. So what kind of retaliation could Israel engage in? Well, you know, if they ever really, really believed it was life or death for them, they have a lot of capability, right? Okay. Does Iran want full-scale war with Israel? Again, I think probably not. But we've been building toward this. We're not de-escalating, we're escalating, right? So here's one possibility. Maybe Iran knows that what it's got to launch is not going to get through the defenses. It's going to take hours for those drones to get there, and between the arrow and sling and Iron Dome and everything else and jet fighter defenses, they think that Israel is going to be able to take all these attacks down. And so this is a way for Iran to send a message while also knowing that it's not going to work as a way of saving face without actually drawing Israel into a direct conflict war back with them. Maybe. Now somebody says, Andrew, do you really think that Iran is that smart, that crafty? It's a bad idea to ever underestimate the craftiness of your adversary, just generally speaking. And so, you know, is it possible that the Iranians are, you know, that crafty, that clever, that methodical? Well, of course it's possible, right? Do I say that that's, and again, sometimes it's really easy to think like, oh, those stupid North Koreans, they don't know how to do anything. you know, oh, those, you know, backwards, primitive, women-hating Iranians, they don't know how to do anything. Don't allow yourself to buy the caricature or the joke or the punchline version of any of the adversaries. Because, you know, sort of just because you might have some, let's say, misinformed, ill-informed, bigoted view of a certain people group or their capabilities because you think of them as a second or a third world country, don't then make the mistake of thinking that that's reality. You know what I mean? And it's very easy to make that mistake as Americans because we just don't know a lot about the world. And we let our ignorance become the basis of our judgments. So I'm just saying, don't underestimate the Iranians, right? 716 on News Radio 92.3. There's something else about this. It was just unbelievable. I'll share with you in a moment. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We have got a vehicle crash on Highway 98 going eastbound. So if you are heading out or into Navarre, please be wary of that. Otherwise, just some typical morning congestion here happening. We got I-10 and I-110 looking good, but Highway 90 coming into Pensacola is a little bit backed up. If you do see anything that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So in Chicago, okay, over the weekend, you had a group of activists. This is in the United States of America, in Chicago. You have a group of activists gathered together, and they are engaging in a kind of a, you know, a rally, anti-war rally, okay? March on DNC 2024 is and Anti-War Chicago are two of the organizations that were gathered together. And one of the guys was speaking at the time when the news was breaking of the launch of the attack by the Iranians. And I want you to hear this because, well, I want you to hear this.
I just have to report something to everyone. And so it begins, so to speak. 12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Syria, violating international law again. And Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago.
That is a group of self-described anti-war activists, liberals, in Chicago, getting together to talk about their plans and work each other up about stuff, and they are cheering Iran attacking Israel.
And this is from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard directly. They've sent drones and missiles against specific targets in occupied Palestine, Israeli targets in occupied Palestine.
By the way, if occupied Palestine is Israel, he's describing Israel. I'm just telling you what his view, because at first I was like, what does he mean, the West Bank? What is he talking about there? Why would they be striking the West Bank or Gaza or whatever? No, he means Israel.
And they believe that they will be in Palestinian, I don't call it Israeli airspace, Palestinian airspace between 2 and 4 a.m., which means in about between 2 and 4 hours from now.
So, and they're kind of, you know, again, sort of a little bit background cheering, yeah, get them, that kind of stuff.
It's 12 midnight in Palestine right now. In addition, there are reports of drones having been fired on Israel from Yemen and Iraq as well.
These are Americans. These are Americans in Chicago celebrating Iran attacking Israel and Yemen attacking.
The world needs us because the United States is going to quote unquote defend the criminal Israeli state. And we have to assume that the United States is going to try to retaliate against Iran.
See, I don't make that assumption at all. I mean, maybe retaliate through sanctions or something like that. I don't expect a military response from the United States. But, I mean, you know, I suppose anything is theoretically possible. I think it's more likely the Iranians tried to fail than that the U.S. will respond kinetically.
I have to assume that some of the Gulf states are going to allow the United States to use their bases that are there and use the airspace of some of the Gulf states to hit Iran. And our anti-war movement, all of the anti-war committees here, all of the Palestine support coalitions here must be ready immediately to be out in the streets and to stop the U.S. from expanding this war on Iran.
Well, we can agree I don't want a wider war in the Middle East. We can find common ground over that. But I just, you know, it's good to remember where some people are. And if that is, I don't know, inexplicable to you, flabbergasts you, you know, when we talk about the kinds of things that go on some of these campuses and the anti-Jewish, you know, anti-Israeli sentiment on some of these campuses, sometimes it's easy for like a normal person to think, it's got to be exaggerating. I mean, this is a group of liberal anti-war activists who are openly celebrating an act of war and aggression against a place that they can't even call Israel. Just for perspective. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, while we're still under a caution, I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car!
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect. Now go on, go, go, go!
Good morning, 725 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives for us. Jimmy?
We are still seeing that roadblock coming in and out of Navarre. I believe it is eastbound, but both ways are being backed up, so please be cautious of that. Otherwise, just our typical morning congestion all the way in between Brent Lane and downtown, so be wary of that. And Gulf Breeze coming into Pensacola is a little bit backed up with that same morning traffic. If you see anything else on the road that we should be reporting, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Going on to the newsroom where David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Jury selection starts today in the hush money criminal trial of former President Donald Trump in New York. There's reports that as many as 6,000 people have been summoned as potential jurors. The former president's attorney has said it would be pretty difficult to find an impartial jury this close to the election. Trump faces 34 felony charges.
Yeah, it is a weird problem, right? Because someone with such high name recognition and such high positive or negative reaction, very difficult to find a juror who is not, you know, who's willing to be impartial and capable of being impartial.
Well, and there's not a lot of middle ground. There's people who are either very for Donald Trump or very against him. Yes.
It's hard to imagine an anti-Trumper acquitting him. It's hard to imagine a Trumper convicting him. Yep, and there are not a lot of people that are in neither category, you know?
The executor of O.J. Simpson's estate says the late football star is going to be cremated and his brain will apparently not be provided for a CTE study. Malcolm Laverne, who was Simpson's lawyer, says he's received at least one request to study the effects of head injuries in his brain. Laverne said Sunday that there are tentative plans, though, for a private celebration of life for family members. And the world's oldest conjoined twins have now died. Lori and George Chappelle died at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. They were 62 years old.
All right. All right. Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 728 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Did you see the story? This is last week, I think it was, that Kiss sold their, you know, all of their collection of music and their digital rights, and they're going to be able to make, like, you know, fake Kiss concerts going forward or whatever, and I guess that brings a whole new meaning to the Kiss cam. I'm here all week. sorry. $300 million. $300 million. Now, if you're Kiss at this point in your life, I mean, yeah, why not, right? But also, weirdly, I don't know, the number suddenly sticks in my head. Like, remember what's the Trump penalty on the, you know, misestimation of the value of his reason? He was going to have to pay $464 million. So Donald Trump's penalty, if he has to pay it all, is going to be 1.5 Kiss digital rights. You know, right? Huh. Isn't that kind of what, like, I don't know, to think about the relationship between them. And then the other thing is you had a, I think it was, is this the right one? Maybe, yeah, I thought this was the right one. That you had, like, it was $150 million. I thought that was the Boeing. There was some penalty or something related to Boeing that was in that vicinity. I'm like, so that's half a Kiss. Like, I'm now, I used to measure things in Twitters.
That should definitely be the new unit of measurement.
Is that one Kiss library value should be the base unit in which we measure, I don't know, sales of things and penalties of things and, you know, because all of a sudden it doesn't seem right. Like some of the numbers just don't seem to match up, that the penalty over the door business would be half of the entire future productive value of the Kiss collection, which is itself only two-thirds of the value of one penalty for Trump for defrauding if he gets convicted.
With the way inflation numbers are going, one Kiss unit might be about what we need for a trip to the grocery store soon. So
that's exactly right. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, Bands on the Beach tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Pavilion. The band is going to be Bay Bridge Band tomorrow night. Men Who Cook yesterday was a great event at Wahoo Stadium for the very first time. The weather was perfect. The food was fantastic. And we definitely had a good time benefiting the Pace Center for Girls.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jury selection starts today for the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump. He's accused of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments before the 2016 election.
100 people at a time will be called into the courtroom, and Judge Juan Merchan will explain the case to them and ask if any prospective juror does not think they can be fair and impartial. And of the remaining people, they'll be given the 42-question questionnaire before each one is questioned individually by a prosecutor and a defense lawyer.
Fox's Eric Sean. Rust movie set armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed is sentenced today.
Gutierrez-Reed was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the fatal onset shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The fourth-degree felony carries a maximum penalty of 18 months incarceration.
Fox's Michelle Pollino. Actor Alec Baldwin fired the gun. His manslaughter trial scheduled to start in July. He was also a producer on the movie. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio. It is 60 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies, absolutely gorgeous morning here in Pensacola. Florida Senator Marco Rubio says Iran had one clear goal in mind with their attack on Israel over the weekend.
Well, Iran's goal it has always been the same, and that is to make Israel an unlivable place. Iran does not believe that it can. Iran knows it cannot beat Israel militarily. But what it does aspire to do is make Israel an impossible place to live and a place no one wants to visit.
Rubio says that it's good those strikes didn't get through and cause a lot of damage or injuries, but he says the possibility of further Iranian attacks will harm Israel's economy and tourism in the nation. Rubio says their ultimate goal is to make the Jewish state collapse from within economically and socially. A teenager now wanted on manslaughter charges for a fatal shooting last week. Escambia Sheriff's Office says 16-year-old Ethan O'Brien had fled the scene after accidentally shooting another 16-year-old while showing off his gun April 12th. That shooting happened at a large gathering on Wishbone Road. The victim died at the scene. Investigators say O'Brien had fled before deputies got there. If you have any information on Ethan O'Brien's location, you should contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. Pensacola Beach played host to a pair of athletic competitions over the weekend. Big turnouts at both events. The DeLuna Open Water Swim brought in a lot of swimmers into the Santa Rosa Sound for a competitive open water swim event that was hosted by Pensacola Sports. Then the firefighters and other beach patrons were able to compete in the Pensacola Beach Firefighters Challenge as well. And there were several challenges, including busting down objects, running tools to an objective, and saving test dummies involved in that competition. Well, there's a plan to tighten security at Eglin Air Force Base next month. Starting in May, they'll be doing 100% identification verification checks for anybody who's entering the base. Anybody without a DOD-issued ID card will have to get a visitor's pass that can be sponsored by a service member, a dependent of a service member, a DOD employee, or a retiree. And the visitor passes can be obtained at either gate on Eglin. They'll be valid for up to 60 days. Eglin recommending that visitors should get those passes now to prevent traffic backups at the gates next month. And if you're going to be driving through 98 today, the live Naval Oaks area, you might see a little bit of smoke off to the side of the road. Gulf Islands National Seashore planning a prescribed burn today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Those burns are scheduled to happen 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. But they will only happen if conditions are just right for it. Small airplane flipped over trying to land at the Log Lake Airport in Holt over the weekend. Now, that happened on Sunday. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says a Cessna was coming in for a landing and the plane somehow flipped onto its roof. Investigators say nobody was hurt when that happened. It is just a tad before 7:35, but let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
We are seeing a few crashes with roadblocks. One is that one from earlier, US 98, Tom Street in Navarre. That is a roadblock going eastbound. Be careful coming both ways because it looks to be a little bit backed up going east and west. Gulf Beach Highway and Nassau Street in Pensacola, there is another crash with a roadblock, so be cautious driving through the west side of Pensacola. Other than that, just our typical morning congestion coming in from Ensley. If you are coming in from Pace or Milton, Highway 90 is a little bit backed up as well. I-10 and I-110 are looking clear. If you do see anything else on the road that we should be reporting, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine. Temperatures heating up. 76 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, we'll drop into the 60s. 64 degrees for your low. Waking up Tuesday morning, nice and mild. We will have partly cloudy skies. Tuesday afternoon, high near 77. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Going to have that beautiful weather continue on Wednesday as we heat up. Possibly 80 degrees for that high on Wednesday with partly cloudy skies. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 60 in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, and 55 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Dom Savino with Your Money Now. A new report shows competitors are doing a better job at taking a bite out of Apple. In the first 3 months of the year, the company's global iPhone shipments fell by their largest total since the throes of the pandemic. The International Data Corporation says Apple shipped just over 50 million smartphones in the first quarter. That's a drop of 10% from the same time last year. One big reason, Apple's struggles in China, where local phone makers like Huawei have seen a resurgence in popularity. A Fed official says the bad feelings surrounding America's strong economy should not be discounted. The comments came from Boston Fed President Susan Collins in a weekend interview. Collins says the central bank should pay more attention to Americans' pessimism. Personal savings rates hit decade lows in the last year. Stocks ended last week on a sour note, but they're ready to head it for a turnaround today. Futures higher by 0.5%. That's Your Money Now.
The celebration continues at Pete Moore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months, or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars. VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Pete Moore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
At the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man.
Rosa County has approximately 16.5% of prime farmland that is an active row crop production. That's pretty significant when you think about 16.5% out of 100% of land that is available that we are utilizing in our row crop production. Of that, that's 7.9% of all county lands that's in row crop production. And we definitely see that we could have very potential problems in the near future, and we're here today to try to present some solutions to those problems that could appear very soon.
This is Levi Blackman. He is the Conservation Program Coordinator for Santa Rosa County, and he was talking with the County Commission, giving them a presentation last Thursday about this issue that we have talked about many times. What can we do, what could be done, should be done, in order to preserve farmland from encroachment from development, which is generally houses, but roads, strip malls, all of that stuff. You know, development is when it's no longer able to be used to grow things on. As Ryan Jenkins, our good friend in Jay, Florida, always says, once you plant houses, you never grow crops. Because you know that you plant the house and it grows one time and it stays there forever. But basically talking about the significance and the scope of the farming and agricultural community in Santa Rosa County, about 9,000 jobs in agriculture out of 45,000 jobs in the whole county. So about 20%, about 700 farms, accounting for all of that, and about $90 million annually in production from those farms, which does not include the silviculture, the trees, okay? And when you put all of that together, $90 million from farming plus the trees.
Included in the $90 million annual revenue of agriculture is our pole industry with timber, our chip and saw industry with timber, and also our saw timber industry and timber. That's three classifications of timber that is not included here. That's why it is clear that we are approaching a billion-dollar industry within the past decade in agriculture in Santa Rosa County, Florida.
So about $100 million a year, lots of jobs, lots of livelihoods, and of course, you know, you need farmers, otherwise you can't eat, you don't have clothes, you know, sort of relatively important stuff. So what can be done, okay? If you've got about 233 acres that are, you know, kind of available now, if you've got about 233 acres, if you put together timber and row crop production, 53,000 for row crop and about $180,000 in private timber, out of a 751,000 footprint, about a third of the land, right? What can you do to make it stay a third and not become a quarter, not become a fifth, right? Three basic ideas. Idea number one, a referendum of some kind, which I believe the idea here would be to vote in maybe a tax that would be used, or a fund, or a directive by the, you know, the residents that you would be directed to buy land and create land trusts of some kind to preserve land from being taken out of farming capability.
One important note about a referendum, where in Florida a referendum has been brought before the residents of the county on ballot, it has been majorities passed when it comes to conservation in Florida. Just to give a few examples, from 2020 to 2022, we have Alachua County, Brevard County, Indian River, Manatee, Nassau, and Polk counties. All of these counties presented referendums before their residents, and they all passed with a majority.
So that's one thing that could be done, would be a referendum to basically purchase land, okay? Second one would be an easement of some kind. And remember, the idea of an easement is kind of like a road exists within an easement or a drainage ditch where it allows access to the top of it. You could sell an easement, or you could, you know, purchase an easement basically that would say the only thing you can do on the top of this land would be agriculture, would be kind of one way to do it.
One of the biggest cons on an easement program is it takes time. You know, patience is that one thing that people just don't often have a lot of, right? This here takes a lot of time to implement. And oftentimes, working with the United States Department of Agriculture, that time is necessary to establish a working program. But yet here, it also requires match money. It's going to have to be built off of someone's dollar. Pros of that, though, is it protects valuable agricultural lands, and not necessarily just agricultural lands, but other lands of interest that need easements, whether it be natural resource related or not.
Right. And the good thing about all of these programs is that they're voluntary. You're not coercing. You're not eminent domaining. You're not taking land. You're trying to make it enticing for the people who own the land. Because, you know, to rent the land to a farmer if you own it, as opposed to selling it to a developer, you know, the problem is they can make more money selling it to a developer. And so you're depending on the goodwill of people wanting to keep it in agriculture, believing in that rather than profiting from it as much. That's the problem. The third option would be what's called a transfer of development rights. And the idea of a TDR is you have the ability to build, like, let's say, a house per acre on this land over here. And let's say you have 100 acres. Okay. Somebody over there is building a, I don't know, they would like to build an apartment complex where they're currently zoned to build, you know, townhomes, let's say. And so you sell not the land, but you sell the development rights to the houses, and you shift those into the zoning of the other place, and you increase the density, which would all require, you know, rules. But instead of basically the county upzoning for nothing, they're kind of upzoning with a benefit. You're kind of paying to get your upzoning, and then the recipient of the payment, the people who sell the development rights, that protects their land into a more conservation agricultural status. That's kind of the idea of the TDR.
With a transfer of development right, it often sounds good and looks good, and we can really explain it well. You can notice the graph here that it shows landowner A. He's defined as a sending person. They send their development rights over here to landowner B, which receives them. As we think about a transfer of development right, it's important because it has to have hard decisions made by those in leadership. Leadership of our county has to determine where the county plans in the future to make development and establish infrastructure and to create utilities for this county. And by doing that, it works hand in hand with our agricultural community because there's a great need there.
And with the development community, like, that's kind of the idea, is we're not going to build here. We are going to build or densify over here. He says there's about 10,000 acres of interest so far in Santa Rosa County for TDRs. It's not a today solution. It definitely takes time. It takes community buy-in. You know, the developers need to work with you. And these programs do exist already elsewhere in Florida.
It's Florida programs that are successful. If you notice here, there is Alachua County, which is where Gainesville is at. They have a successful TDR program. You also notice Lee County there, where the greater Fort Myers area is. They have a successful TDR program. But here is just an example.
Yeah, and I'll actually talk a little bit about this more in just a second, plus how the commissioners reacted to this. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives first. Jimmy?
On U.S. 98 in Navarre going eastbound, we are still dealing with that roadblock. That is at U.S. 98 and Tom Street. Gulf Beach Highway and Nassau Street still dealing with a roadblock as well. We are seeing some serious backup on 9th and Gregory. So if you are heading into downtown, please be aware of that. We are backed up all the way to the 3-mile bridge due to a vehicle crash right outside of the Bay Center. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to this conversation about transfer development rights, which, again, my understanding of this is it's kind of like right now, if somebody wants to upzone a property, you just give it to them or not give it to them. This would allow people to purchase upzoning density where you would otherwise have given it to them for free. Now they're paying for the right. In exchange, you're able to protect some of these agricultural lands from development by selling the development rights to those areas. And it's kind of a complicated thing, but that's kind of the idea of it. Now, Sam Parker makes the argument that, if you're going to get rid of development in some areas, you're going to have to allow for density in other areas. That's the natural trade-off. Why we have sprawl now is because there's no such controls, basically.
Farmers understand that, obviously, you got to allow density in areas that aren't farmland to make it happen so that you can preserve that and still welcome our American neighbors. I mean, I think as a Christian, that's kind of what we're supposed to do.
Instead of just telling them you cannot come here, which I know some people would like to do, but okay. So he also says he'd be willing to, he thinks there's enough money that we could put in for this, about 1% of the annual budget.
I kind of like that, what I'm going to call a multi-pronged approach. I told these gentlemen, and I'll say it today, I fully support committing $2 million even in the next fiscal year to land conservation to match with those grant programs from the funds that the Navy's willing to provide, as well as USDA and federal funds. And that's something that I know that we can absolutely do responsibly.
So $2 million a year, and I did the quick math on this. If you run the rough, like how much does an acre of farmland go for? I think the number I found was about 33,000. So you could buy about 63 acres a year at $2 million a piece. Not a lot. 63 acres. I mean, it's not nothing, but it's also just not an awful lot of land. On the other hand, if you do agricultural easements, those are relatively inexpensive, and it's hard to find good information on this, but it seemed like that might allow us to buy about 2,000 acres of land for agricultural easements. And for the transfer of development rights, there's actually a really good chart. Palm Beach County has a really good chart of all the different kinds of transfer development rights that you can do. The very, very rough rule of thumb is that the TDR is about 10% of the land value. Okay, so instead of 63 acres, you could get 10 times as much. You could get about 600 acres, depending on which way you want to go and which mix of plans we want to use. So, you know, $2 million is not a lot just straight up buying land. $2 million might be a pretty good start if you're talking about, you know, again, agricultural easements or transfer development rights. Commissioner Calkins weighs in.
Now, farming is one of the most important industries in Santa Rosa County and our country. If you don't have farmers, you don't eat. It is very important.
And with that university level assessment of the situation, we get James Calkins' view. Remember, and I've said this too, but it's just, you know, like he's going to weigh in with that, right? Okay.
We have a disaster that is heading for us right now. And I've talked to some farmers, Mr. Jenkins, and learned a lot.
I've talked to some farmers. Okay.
We are running out of farmland. And if we run out of farmland, we're all in trouble. Food prices go up. People can't afford groceries.
Remember, without farmland, you can't eat. Just, okay. But he is on board with the 2 million. Although, in the past, he has, my recollection is that he has not been particularly eager to protect farmland from development. So maybe this is sort of election year stuff. I don't know.
I'll tell you, I appreciate Mr. Chairman throwing out a number. Of $2 million because that helps me. I fully will support that. And that'll also help us to get grants and get more money from the feds and everybody else.
So I think the county commissioners are probably all five on board with this. It's a question of the particulars, how much money, what plan we use, will the development community be on board? And again, you got to think ahead about where you are going to and not going to be willing to and want to have, you know, things get built up. So long conversation just kind of beginning in Santa Rosa County. And I would hope whatever they're doing in Santa Rosa that they're doing in Escambia, too. I mean, this is something that both counties could really benefit from as farmland has been snatched up in both counties in a very problematic way. 752 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about having a lush, green, beautiful lawn this summer, you want to be really actively thinking about this right now because, I mean, you know, it's like, it's not too late just yet, but it's starting to get to be pretty late in the beginning right now. Call NSEC. Have them come out and look at what your lawn needs. They'll give 8 annual lawn applications that are time program targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. The beginning is free, of course. The analysis and the estimate is totally free. If you do sign up with an annual lawn program, you get your first lawn application free. That includes the initial soil sample and the lime treatment on an average size yard. You can find out more. Of course, they also do pest control, which makes sense because lawns and pests kind of go together. Landscaping, they also do that. And any of those services are available to you. Find out more, get a free estimate, or make an appointment at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you. Thank you. Where am I?
I will tell you, we did The Men Who Cook with my son, my middle son, who is turning 18, and I can't believe I got a 20-year-old today and an 18-year-old coming up in less than a month. And the one thing I was always hoping is they would outgrow me because my wife's family, the boys are all very big, and in my family, the boys are bigger than I am. And I had some of the pictures I've seen from Men Who Cook yesterday with me and my son, and he towers over me. It's great. I look like the little kid in the picture, which is great. I love it. I'm so happy for them. Jimmy has got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are looking pretty good on the road. We are still dealing with that vehicle crash on 98. So if you are coming in from Navarre into Pensacola, please be wary of that. We've also got one vehicle crash reported, still being dealt with on Gulf Beach Highway and Nassau Street. 9th and Gregory still backed up to the 3 Mile Bridge due to a vehicle crash right outside of the Bay Center. And we are seeing a crash on Michigan and at W Street intersection in Brent, Pensacola. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The FBI is reportedly opening a criminal investigation into last month's Baltimore Bridge collapse. Agents have boarded the cargo ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, sending that span to the bottom of Baltimore Harbor. The Washington Post reports the investigation is focused on whether the crew left port knowing that ship had problems. A documentary from ABC News on James and Jennifer Crumbly will be released on Hulu this week. It's called Sins of the Parents, details their failings as parents that led to their then 15-year-old son, Ethan, shooting and killing four students at Michigan's Oxford High School in November 2021. And the U.S. Postal Service, Andrew, asking for approval to raise the price of stamps again, a second time in 6 months. If the change is approved, a first-class stamp will go from 68 to 73 cents in July.
Wow, you can't even say they're nickel and diming us today. They're just nickeling us today. $0.05
a piece,
man, that's crazy. All right, very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, this is kind of a roads-related news note. Sam Parker made this announcement at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting.
Super excited. People will start seeing, Brad, it's next week, right, that they'll actually start seeing construction crews on the ground. So it has been a huge haul. It's taken 7 years to get here, but we will finally have construction crews on the ground next week for Woodbine Road. And like I said, it's been years in the making.
That's the intersection of Highway 90 and Woodbine. And the county actually said Monday, April 22nd, so a week from today. But in any case, 210 days estimated completion. That's for the dedicated turn lane, making it a two-lane turn. And then, you know, some of the other improvements to that intersection, including, what is it? I think there's sidewalks. Yeah, sidewalks on both sides of Woodbine Road. They're going to widen that, drainage improvements, all that stuff. So should, fingers crossed, improve throughput east to west and south to west, both, you know, and the other direction too, coming home at night. So Woodbine Highway 90 is about to get going, so within about a year you should be able to celebrate some improvements on that one little piece of the traffic puzzle that is Santa Rosa County. So that's very good news. Meanwhile, Tibet Drive, they're working on that. They've come to an agreement with the guy who is the owner there, and that's going to be worked on. So that's by the country club in Tiger Point. That little cut-through, you know, that was closed for a while, and the guy built the apartments. Anyway, that's going to be turned into a full-fledged county road, too.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.